I'd invite you, as you continue your work with the Karen Armstrong book, as so many of you do, are engaged in right now, that you continue to look at the external focus of these beautiful 12 steps that she has outlined. And then you take each one of those in some way. I think you could do the same thing with each one of her 12 steps that I do with Heather's points, that you say, to what degree am I doing that in here? To what degree is what she's talking about outside also possible inside, internally? And that you see the importance of internal action as well as external action. And just lastly, I'd say that we can aspire to things in a way that is both compassionate and healthy. Often, as particularly as Americans, I think we are, I've lived in other countries for many years, and many other countries see us as naive. The French call us big children. Les Américains sont les grands enfants, is what they say. And, you know, in some ways, we are. And so we idealize things. Founded, our national heritage is founded on these wonderful principles of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so I think I'll use the I word. My tendency is to idealize compassion, or to idealize, you know, oh, if I could only be like the Dalai Lama. Oh, if I could only be like, you know, that distant, far ideal. And then when that distant, far ideal is so distant that I can't possibly do anything else than fall short of being like that, then it feels like failure. And the bringing of the hand on the heart, the bringing of the hand somewhere on the body, is a way of just bringing it close to home, this touching base of embodying this sense of compassion right here. So I'll end with a poem by Naomi Shihab Nye, which I think all of you probably have heard at one point, but I never tire of hearing it. It's such a beautiful poem. How many of you have heard the Naomi Shihab Nye kindness poem? A couple people. Oh, okay. All right. Then maybe this will be new for a lot of you. Great. She says, before you learn the tender gravity of kindness, you must travel where the Indian in a white poncho lies dead by the side of the road. You must see how this could be you, how he too was someone who journeyed through the night with plans and the simple breath that kept him alive. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak to it. She doesn't say that. You must speak to it till your voice catches the thread of all sorrow and you see the size of the. Then it is only kindness that makes sense anymore. Only kindness that ties your shoes and sends you out into the day to mail letters and to purchase bread. Only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world to say, it is you I have been looking for, and then goes with you everywhere like a shadow. So thank you for listening to these reflections on kindness and compassion, and I'd be happy to open it to any comments or questions.
I'll ask a question. No, I noticed that as I peruse babbling on Google, so to speak, looking at the literature that's being promulgated today, well, in recent years, let's say maybe in the last 5 to 7 years, there's an awful lot of emphasis on mindfulness. Well, mindfulness was brought to the attention of human beings back in the Buddha's time. Why all of a sudden?
You're Larry, right?
Jerry.
Could you tell me something about what I talked about tonight? Any comments about what we just shared here tonight? I'm just wondering, is that are you connecting to that?
Yeah. Well, you've spoken a lot on that. I mean, all of these actions are mindful.
And compassionate?
Well, it goes hand in hand.
Okay. So,
but,
yeah.
I mean, from your studies, why this emphasis, heavy emphasis, just in the last few years? Like exactly what you spoke about.
Mm, yeah.
And not 20 or 30 years ago, 50, 100,
200. Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, this tradition comes from 2,500 years ago. So it's not like it hasn't been here for a really long time. Just necessarily hasn't been in the U.S. It's sort of been traveling around the world, and it's made its way here. And I don't know. What do you all think? Why is it here?
I think about the Dalai Lama said that. I think it was the Dalai Lama or something. Very wise person from the East said that they were so surprised at how the people in the U.S., how hard they were on themselves,
mm-hmm.
how self-critical, and that was something that they hadn't, this person hadn't experienced before.
Right.
So it may have taken a while to come up, but I think it's a much needed kind of coming up because of the need. That's how I see the interest in mindfulness.
Yeah.
And compassion.
Yeah, I think we're moving towards a time where we're beginning to see how the ways in which we've been functioning in the world just haven't been working very well. And we're opening to something new. And may it be beneficial. Yeah, Carolyn.
Just one little comment that I mean, I can think of sort of historically going on. I know that after 9/11, the San Francisco Zen Center, for example, stopped doing the ritual, whack you on the back if you fall asleep thing. It was stopped.
Yeah.
And it's I don't know if you guys have ever heard about those rituals, but it's not like a guy goes around whacking people. It's, it's a very formal ceremony of bowing. You would bend over and with a flat pat on the muscle part of your back. But anyway, they stopped. So that was sort of, it was just like so horrendous that how can we just, get somebody
that I didn't realize there was a, cause and effect of 9/11 and
well, I read an article about it.
Yeah.
I even knew it was like tricycle or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got to, as a human species, figure out a better way. I don't think we do keep killing one another, but it doesn't seem to make a difference. So, if we start
so killing each other's not working.
And killing each other's not working. Could it be that being mindful and compassionate will make a difference? May it be so. This is good. This is a good place to end. Can we just take another moment? If you are, if we all close our eyes and if you are comfortable just placing a hand on the heart, on the cheek, on the arms,
on your leg.
These are the compassion phrases from Jack Kornfield that I have found so wonderful over the years. To begin with, may I be held in compassion. May my pain and sorrow be eased. May I be at peace. May you be held in compassion. May your pain, your sorrow, your worry, your anger, your hurt be eased. May you be at peace. May all beings be held in compassion. May our pain and sorrow be eased. And may we all be at peace. May your practice flourish and bring great blessings to your life and to the lives of everyone you know. Thank you. Thank you.